You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, Sun Life Church. For those joining us online, good to have you. We are hoping that you can join us whenever you are ready. And if you are needing any prayer or support, please reach out to us, either call church office or email care@sunlife.org.au, because we want to stand with you, we want to encourage you and pray and really help you in this season. And for those who are here, it is great that you are here. Thanks for coming down to worship with us and to open up the Word of God. Last week, Gahing, thank you so much, Gahing. Give him a round of applause. I mean, what a joy. What a joy to be in a church where God has raised up some amazing communicators, people who love the Word of God, people who spend time in prayer, in study, research, and with a passion to deliver the Word of God so faithfully. And so, Gahing, thank you so much, brother. I mean, I love what God is doing in you, and I love how, just God is blessing your family with so many things. So thank you so much. Before I open up the Word of God, I just want to say something. This was really spontaneous, but I thought I want to share this with you. I don't know much about church finances because from day one, I just refused to look at church finances. I just asked the treasurer, how was this month? Did we go okay? Am I should be worried or not? And treasurer usually goes two thumbs up or two thumbs down. And that's all I need to know. I don't know who gives, and I don't want to know because I know I'm a very biased individual. Because if you're a big giver and I know who you are, then I'm going to be there loving you, supporting you. You call me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll be right there. And if you're not a giver, there's a very good chance that if you call me up, I won't even pick up your phone. And that's just the bias in me. All right, so I refuse not to know. But I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. Over the last month or so, there have been some amazing miracles and some very big givers. And you know who you are, right? I don't know who you are. But I want you to know this, is that God sees your generosity and God sees your sacrifice, and I thank God for you. Because some of the givers over the last few months, we're talking 50,000, 20,000, 10,000. It's just big amounts. And I thank God because your generosity and your sacrifice encourages me to keep doing the work here. It's a church our size, with this building, with the budgets that we have. God is so kind to this church, and I still pinch myself that I get to lead this amazing church here. So I want to say, whoever's been giving, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your generosity, and may God bless you in that faith in the area of generosity. It is worth it, you know, it is worth it. Place your treasures in Him and not this world. Amen. So thank you so much. This morning here, I get to continue on our Mark series, yeah? And if you've been tracking through, it's just an amazing series, and I really believe that you've all been really encouraged with this series here. For those who are new, this is your first time here, my name is Bin, and I'm the pastor here, and always a joy to open up the Word of God. I also volunteer as a sports chaplain. Yeah, so here's a picture of yours truly on the left-hand side there, trying to kick a football. I just kind of cropped that action because it was a very bad action, but that's just me after kicking a football. And I am the chaplain of the East Perth Royals. It's a waffle club, so the waffle stands for the West Australian Football League. It is the league beneath the AFL. All right, the AFL is the national competition. So I chaplain and care for the level below. And usually what happens, if a player is very, very good, a player gets drafted into the AFL system, yeah? And if they're not picked up by the Eagles or the mighty Fremantle Dockers, right? And if they get drafted by a team interstate, as a young fella, they've got to pack their bag and move interstate. Yeah, and they go and they start their AFL career, and if they have a great career, they may play 10, maybe 15 years. But if it's not good because of injury or just not good enough at that level, they actually go back home. Here's a picture of Damon Greaves, this player here. He spent the last 3 years playing for the mighty Hawthorn Hawks. Hawthorn is a team in Melbourne. He played for Hawthorn for 3 years, pretty good player, but wasn't good enough in the sense that they delisted him and he went back home to East Perth, his home club. So when he came back home, the homecoming, it was a joy. And a joy because, you know, your mate who spent the last 3-4 years away is back home and all the players are celebrating his victories and giving him hugs. And I remember when he walked into the club coming back from the AFL system, it was a joy. The homecoming was amazing, all right? Well, this morning's text in chapter 6, Jesus comes back home. And instead of a celebration, it's a rejection. This is the first time in Mark's gospel that Jesus has been preaching throughout that region, Capernaum, Gerasa, around the Sea of Galilee, and he returns back home. It's the homecoming, but instead of celebration, it's rejection. And we want to look at that this morning. So if you have your Bible, this is a great time to turn to Mark chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 1 to 13. And there are two scenes. So I'm going to break this to 2 points, just a 2-point message this morning. And hopefully there's no right here, right? It's just 2 points this morning, right? And the first scene from verses 1 to 6 happens in the synagogue, like the local church. And we see the rejection of Jesus. And the second scene happens in the field. Out there, the disciples are preaching, but we see the resilience of Jesus. And so I want to talk about the rejection of Jesus, the resilience of Jesus, to encourage us to keep following Jesus. Amen? So the title is The Homecoming. If you have your church app, get it open because it's a good time to also open up the church app, or at least get your Bible open to chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Is that okay? So let me pray and we'll dive into the text. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound and teach your word faithfully, that we would leave this morning loving Jesus more, not giving up on Jesus, not losing heart and losing hope, but to keep pursuing our desires to follow Jesus. So God, would you help me? Would you help me to teach and preach your word, your message for your people this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, are we good to go? Got our Bibles open? Chapter 6, the rejection of Jesus. Look in verse 1. He, that's Jesus, went away from there would have been in that part of Galilee around the sea, and he came to his hometown, right there, can you see it? And his disciples, the 12, followed him. So this is not Bethlehem, that's his birth town. This is Nazareth, where he grew up as a little boy, right? So this is where he grew up, and what we know about Nazareth is that it's very, very small. Right, they say the population of Nazareth back then would have been around maybe 250 people. Not a lot of people, which means everyone knew everyone. Is that right? I used to work in the country in Wild Catchum, the wheat belt, some 2.5 hours northeast of Perth. Population of probably back then 200, 300, and everyone knew everyone. Now, I was a high school teacher then, in the only school. I was the best science teacher out there. You couldn't beat me. If they actually had like Asian model of the year, I would have won it hands down. Hands down. Because we were so small, we all knew each other. And they say that Nazareth would have been, I think, and if I did my research right, the size of Optus Stadium times 3. So Optus Stadium times 3, that's the size of this town, very small town. And so 200-300 people, they all knew each other. So Jesus comes back to his hometown. And I remember, if you have your Bible, you can turn to, it's not on the screen here, but Nathanael in John 1, right, he says this, can anything good come from Nazareth? Like in John 1, 46. It's like, it's so small. It's so insignificant. Can anything good come out of this little small town? And so Jesus comes back home in verse 2, right? And on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday, he began to teach in the synagogue, which is like the church. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? So he's teaching away. But you notice in the text, look carefully, not everyone were astonished, many. Can you see that? Many. And I read that during the week and I felt such comfort that not everyone were impressed at Jesus' teaching and preaching. Many. And I guess for most preachers, we would highlight that one word many and know that, wow, that brings so much comfort for us that when we're teaching away and preaching away and I can't impress everyone and I get the odd cat naps here and there on a Sunday morning, it's okay. Because if my Jesus couldn't impress everyone, hey, you know what? Praise the Lord for me, right? So it's okay. I'll keep teaching. I'll keep preaching on it, right? So right here, not many were impressed and they began to judge him. They question him, and now there's resentment. Now look in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? Oh, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? They're the sisters of Jesus. We don't know how many, 2, 3, we don't know, in the church, and they took offense at him. That's Jesus. The word offense here is the Greek skandalon. Skandalon sounds like scandal. Scandal. So in other words, they were listening to Jesus and then they got offended. It was like a personal attack towards them. And everyone there thought this was a scandal. How can this local boy, Jesus, the one that we saw grow up here, be so good? I mean, he's just a carpenter. The carpenter here, most likely, I don't know, working with wood or stone. All right, he's just a carpenter and he's the son of Mary. You know that phrase, son of Mary, is actually a cheap shot at Jesus' family. Because back then, you would always be known as the son of the father. Even if the father was dead, you would be known as the son of the father. In this case, right, Jesus would have been the son of who? Joseph, right? But to call him, oh, the son of Mary, was to imply that we know his mum, but we don't know his dad. Like his daddy, we don't know. Like his mum was a whore. And we know the story, right? Because Mary gave birth, right? And Joseph is not his biological father. So they kept having this rumor that we don't know who Jesus' dad is because his mum has been sleeping around. He's the son of Mary. They're having a personal attack at Jesus. He's just a carpenter. I mean, how good can he be? Right? And then Jesus begins to say this popular saying back then in verse 4, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. It was a proverb back then saying this, that prophets, they're honored outside their hometown, but when they come back to the hometown, when they're with their relatives, with their family, there's no honor. And it's a bit true because I know friends of mine who are great pastors and preachers. They would let me know that when they get invited to conferences, right, and they preach at these conferences or other churches, for some reason, there's a lot of honor. People would like to listen to what they have to say. People take on what they say. People lean in. There's a lot of amens, and people might come forward for prayer. And, you know, they might even take these pastors out for lunches afterwards. But when they go back to their home church, right, it's just the preacher. It's just pastor so-and-so. Right? And so we see that sometimes that the honor, right, was more outside the hometown than in the hometown, especially amongst the relatives and family. And Jesus begins to say that, right? I would imagine the siblings, these are the sisters and the brothers of Jesus, still thinking that he was mad. If you remember in chapter 3, they wanted to take Jesus back home because they thought that he was a madman. Remember James? Like James is Jesus' brother, the one that wrote the letter according to James in the New Testament, the one who became a great leader in Jerusalem. Well, at this point in time, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. His faith only came after the resurrection. So which meant that the brothers and sisters of Jesus still thought that he was crazy. And in that church setting, even they were going, Jesus, you're embarrassing our family. Can you see the rejection? Can you see the disappointment in Jesus' life right there and then? He's coming back home, think it's going to be a great homecoming, but instead of celebration, we find rejection. I can imagine everyone in that synagogue thinking, Jesus, like, seriously, Jesus, why are there 12 followers? Like, where did you buy or hire these 12 followers? Like, you're not even a rabbi. Like, you're not even a trained rabbi. It's only been 18 months since you've left us, and you've come back with 12 followers. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Like, Jesus, you didn't go to Bible college, Jesus. Like, Jesus, you never followed a rabbi, and now you come back home with these 12 jokers following you, and you come into the church, and you're trying to teach something. Who do you think you are, Jesus? You're just a carpenter, the son of Mary. Can you see the rejection? But now look what Mark wrote down. Mark writes this in verse 5 and 6. And he, that's Jesus, could not do mighty works there. There is Nazareth. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Let's stop right there. That word marveled means amazed or astonished. This is the only time that word is recorded in Mark's gospel. Jesus was amazed by their what? Unbelief. There's another time in the gospel where we see that word. One other time. And it's found in Luke where Jesus is marveled. Go with me to Luke 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. There it is, you see? At him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel I have found such faith. The context in Luke 7, if you know, is there was this Roman centurion, and he's got a sick slave, a sick servant, and he goes looking for Jesus, and he finds Jesus, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, I need you to come to my house and heal my servant. This is a Roman centurion, which means he's a Gentile. Do you understand that? He should not be believing in a Jewish rabbi. He's not part of God's people. But what we find here is we have a Gentile who should not have faith in Jesus. But what do we find? We find faith. When we find faith in the midst of unbelief, that marvels Jesus. Let me say that again. When we find faith in the midst of unbelief, that marveled Jesus. And in this context here, this passage here, Jesus is back home and the people are his family. They should know better, right? I mean, they should have all heard of the things Jesus did. I'm pretty sure some even witnessed the miracles of Jesus, right? Touching and healing the leper, calming the storm. Remember that one? Calming the storm. There's a demon-possessed man, healing the demon-possessed man. He's healed that lady who's been bleeding for 12 years, remember? And there's a girl that died and he raised up Jairus' daughter. Last week's message. I am pretty sure they should know that this Jesus can do these things. And a place where there is faith, what do we find? Unbelief. That marveled Jesus.
I'm relieved to hear that.
Even Siri believes that. See, I tell you, God's in the house. Look what I wrote here. It's a great summary. You want to marvel? You want to really surprise and really astonish Jesus? Find faith in the midst of unbelief, that marveled Jesus. Finding unbelieved in the midst of faith, that also marveled Jesus. Right here in his hometown, where there should have been faith, right? They should believe. What do we find? We find unbelief. And Jesus was shocked. I love it how Matthew, right? Matthew, he writes it like this in Matthew 13, 58. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is where I want to land this first point here, is that the unbelief of these people here hindered the works of Jesus. I want to teach this well because I don't want to miss this point because this gets quite complex here, is that Jesus could have performed the miracles there if he wanted to. Why? Because Jesus is God, right? But because of their unbelief, Jesus chose not to perform the miracles. The text teaches us this, is that when we reject Jesus, when there is unbelief in us, it limits the work of God. And I wonder whether sometimes you and I today, I wonder whether the reason why we are not seeing the miracle in our lives, the breakthrough that we're praying for, the mighty works of Jesus, the healing hand of Jesus, is because of our unbelief. And I'm not saying this, listen carefully, because if you hear me long enough, you know my theology. I'm not saying that if you manage to pray hard and believe hard and fast and somehow twist the arm of God, then he'll do the miracle in you. I'm not saying that. The prosperity preachers, right? The health and wealth teachers want to teach that, right? Claim it, it's yours. Word of faith movement, believe in it, it's yours. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God is sovereign. God will do what he needs to do. But the text teaches me this, that if I put my faith in him, if I trust him, all right, he will begin to do a work in my situation. And I think sometimes, and I'm preaching to myself, I wonder whether sometimes in my walk as a follower of Jesus, right, my unbelief feeds my pride because I'm saying that I can do this without God. Therefore, I don't need God to come into this space here because I'm saying, God, I can do this without you. Therefore, it's an unbelief and it just fuels my pride and my ego because I've got this. And I don't trust Jesus because I trust myself. I don't want to put faith in Jesus because I'll put faith in myself or someone else. And I wonder if God is just watching me from heaven saying, Ben, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for you to believe. I'm just waiting for you to put your trust in me, to put your faith in me. And I wonder whether this season of waiting, right, me waiting and my frustration and my disappointment, because I'm just praying, you know, God, hopefully that there's a breakthrough. And there's no breakthroughs because really I'm not believing in him, but I'm just believing in myself. Therefore, God just waits. And God just waits for me to put my faith in him. And that season becomes a very long season. And I question why God is not coming in. I'm questioning why God isn't helping me out. And I'm questioning why there's no breakthrough. Could it be that God really wants to give me something? And the reason why I haven't got it is because of my unbelief. I don't know whether that is making sense to some of you here. But I really believe that maybe for some of us here this morning, God wants to give you that miracle. Remember, I'm not a Pentecostal pastor. I'm not a health and wealth claim it, word of faith preacher. You know me by now. But I wonder whether the reason why you're still waiting for that miracle, for that breakthrough, is because you still are not believing. You're trying to figure it all out yourself. You're trying to map out what is the next move. You're trying to map out your future and this and that. But God is saying this morning, are you believing? Are you trusting? Are you putting your faith in me? Or there's unbelief? And because of the unbelief, I'm not going to do that. And see, we see this in the text here. And Jesus was rejected because of their unbelief, and Jesus didn't do the miracles that they were hoping to see. And for you and I today, as followers of Jesus Christ, the season that you're in right now, maybe it's a tough season. Maybe you are praying for that breakthrough. Maybe you're really hoping God to intervene and help you with whatever situation you're facing. Maybe this morning God is using me as a messenger to say, where is your faith? Where are you putting your hope? Is it still in Jesus or has it been in yourself? And may we leave this morning having more faith to say, hey, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I'm going to put my faith in you. And I'm going to trust in you for that breakthrough. Amen? So that's what we see right there. But as I look through the second part of the text, what I notice here, even though Jesus was so discouraged and there was rejection upon him, it didn't stop Jesus. He continued doing the Father's work. Well, let's continue on. Let's look at the resilience of Jesus, verses 6 and 7. And he, that's Jesus, he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirit. Let's stop right there. You notice that, right? There's a rejection. They don't believe who he is, but it didn't stop him. He was still out there. He goes, okay, I'm still going to go around preaching. He's going to gather the 12 and he's going to send them out two by two. And Jesus is very strategic. He sends them straight to work. He didn't let the disappointment of Nazareth slow him down. He didn't let the rejection of the people stop him from doing the Father's will. He still went out and he preached and he got the disciples going and he released them in authority, right? Look at the clear instruction in verse 8 to 11. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, no bread, which means no food, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. You notice that? Strange, hey? Take the bare minimum, right? No food. Don't bring food. Don't bring your bag. No money. No second outfit. No iPhone. No PlayStation, right? Just the bare minimum, right? Keep it simple. Keep it humble. Keep it less. And here's the reason why. Less distraction, more focus. Right? There's an urgency to go and preach. So Jesus says, just focus. Don't get distracted. Don't bring all these things. And I know the youngies right now, you're going, well, Pastor, you don't get it. We can do this. Like, you know, I know young people today. I look at my kids and look at some of the staff here. Like, you know, you're probably disagreeing with me, right? But I don't know how you do it. Like, they're working, right? And they've got all these apps on, and then, you know, you're messaging someone, and you're posting something on social media, and you're listening to a podcast, and you're studying and applying for a job all at once. I don't know how you do it. I see it in my kids. I go into their room, it's got the music on, it's got Discord on, and it's got this on, and he's probably switching between games, whatever it is, and he's studying all at once. But they still managed to get the work done. But maybe back then, right, Jesus was saying, less distraction. Just focus. Go and preach. Go there humbly with not a lot of distraction. Depend upon me. I will provide you food. I will give you money. All right? Preach. Now look in verse 10 and 11. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and you will not and will not listen to you, and when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them, right? So he's saying this, when you go to someone's house, stay there. Be committed to that household and preach. Don't leave. Just because there's no aircon, don't go to the next house. Oh, just because the food is not good, don't go to the next house, stay there. Oh, the bed is quite hard. It's not 5-star rating. Stay put. That's what Jesus is saying. Stay there, be faithful to that family, preach the gospel. Don't go from one place to the next, right? But Jesus says, if they don't receive you, if they reject you, leave their place, shake the dust off your sandals and move as a testimony. And here's the reason why, right? Back then, if you were a Jew and you went to Gentile land, all right? And the Jews and Gentiles, there's a bit of a divide, right? And so if you went to Gentile land and you were, I guess, mocked, right? As a sign of God's judgment, tap your sandals, get rid of the dust and leave. It was a symbolic, it was a testimony of just God's judgment upon these people. And so what Jesus was saying is that you go to someone's house, Gentile territory, preach, share them the gospel. If they reject you as a sign, just tap the dust off your sandals and leave so that they know that they're cut away from the kingdom of God. And that was a symbolic sign. So the disciples had clear instruction. Go to a house, preach, stay at that place, do what you can. And if they kick you out, leave, shake the dust off your sandals. All right? So they obeyed and they did that. Now look in verse 12 and 13. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with many oils who were sick and healed them. And we stopped there. The disciples followed Jesus. They did the work. There was authority. They proclaimed the good news. They cast out demons and many were healed. Friends, listen carefully. The rejection of Jesus didn't stop Jesus from doing the will of God. He could have said, I've given up. It's too hard. But there was a resilience that he kept at it. And I thank God that he did. Because we must understand that Jesus is 100% man as well. So all the emotion of rejection, he felt. Yes, we know that he's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. But he said, no, I'm not going to let that slow me down. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing this. Because he went and he preached. He went to the cross. He died for us. And I thank God for that. And I wonder whether the lesson for us today is this. That for some of us here this morning, right, you know the will of God upon your life. You know where God wants you to be. You know what God wants you to do. But right now, there's this hurt. You feel rejected. You feel misunderstood. You feel there is some kind of rejection inside of your heart, and you're at the point where you want to give up. You're at the point where you're saying, this is just too much. I can't go anymore. But I want to let you know this, is that the life in following Jesus is not meant to be easy. There's going to be good moments, not so good moments. And there'll be moments where people are going to misunderstand you. There'll be moments where people are going to judge you and people are going to reject you. But don't let that stop you from living out the will of God. Don't let that stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Keep pressing on. Keep moving forward. Keep trusting God. Don't lose heart. Because if you feel right now witnessing to your unsaved spouse is too hard, because there's always arguments, there's always misunderstanding, and you want to stop and give up, don't. Don't lose heart. Keep at it. Keep sharing the love of God to that spouse of yours. Keep praying for that person. Keep believing that God can change hearts. Do it. Maybe right now you have a son or a daughter who've left home and they've kind of gone off track, off rail, and you feel it's too hard and you want to give up. You feel so rejected by them. Don't. Don't lose heart. Keep trusting God. Keep having faith in God. Don't let the rejection stop you, but build resilience to not give up. Keep loving. Keep praying. Keep pursuing. Keep your arms wide open for that person to come back home. Whatever you are, maybe right now at work, you feel at work there's so much hardship, so much rejection, and they don't understand you, and they're mocking you, and you want to just give up and walk away. Don't walk away. God has placed you there for a reason, to love them, to pastor them, to show the grace of God upon them. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't let the rejection stop you. Maybe right now you feel finances is too much, or the marriage you're in is too much, or the ministry you're serving here is too much, and you want to give up because you feel rejected. You feel isolated. You feel that people are judging you. Don't give up. Friends, don't lose hope. Jesus didn't. You shouldn't. Maybe right now you go, oh, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. It's just too hard. I mean, I gave my life to follow Jesus, but every time I follow Jesus, it's one bad thing after the next. It's just too much. I want to give up. I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't let rejection stop you from following Jesus. Amen? Keep trusting Jesus. Put your faith in him and trust for the miracle. Amen? And that's what I see in the text right here. Keep doing the Father's work. Keep loving people when they don't even love you. Keep serving them. Keep proclaiming Jesus when people mock you. Keep holding on to Jesus. Don't let go of Jesus. Keep following Jesus. He's your master. You're his apprentice. Keep following him. Don't let rejection stop you. Build resilience. I want to read you 2 Corinthians 4:1. And Paul writes this. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. You read the rest of chapter 4 this week. You see Paul was persecuted, all the hardship, but he didn't give up. He didn't lose heart. He kept at it. And I want to encourage some of you. This is for some of you this morning. I believe this is really prophetic right now. God is speaking to some of us this morning. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. He can still do the miracle in your situation. Keep trusting him. Keep following him. Keep believing him. He can do it. Don't say it's too much. I'm going to stop. Don't stop. Keep going forward. And if you begin to keep at it, pressing forward, you know what's going to happen? You're going to realize that God's going to give you power. Yeah? Because I know that in weakness, there's perfect power. And you know what's going to happen? When he gives you power and you begin to see one breakthrough after the next, guess who gets the glory? Guess who gets the glory? He does. He gets the glory. And guess who you encourage? The people around you. I want to be in a church, this church, where some of you, you're about to give up, but you're not going to give up. Yeah, you feel deflated, you feel rejected, but you're not going to give up. You're going to come up here and say, you know what, that season, it was so tough, but there was a resilience in me. I kept at it. I kept moving forward. I kept trusting Jesus. He gave me power. He gave me strength, and I saw the breakthrough. All glory to God. And it encourages us as a community to keep at it. Let me just read you a bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 as I conclude. Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure, right, is the gospel, what God is doing. The jars of clay are the Christian. I love jars, fragile, brittle, some broken. That's us. Is that right? We are fragile, we're mortal. Life is hard. He goes, we have this to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. The power is God, not us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I love that. It's not easy, but I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to keep at it. I know for some of you, it's hard following Jesus. I know. You know, I just came back from sabbatical, and I had five conversations with five senior pastors in Perth. So from mid-Feb to now, I've had five conversations with five senior pastors in Perth. Churches that are slightly smaller than ours, our size, and a lot bigger than us, that all want to give up. Wow. And I said to those pastors, one-on-one, I'll be number six. Six. It is so hard. Pastoring people, it is so hard. You know, some of my friends, you know, you would know who they are on social media, on the website. It looks great. I'm looking at Sun Life Church, 300, 400 people. Great, it looks great, but it is so hard pastoring God's people. So hard, trust me. Just the emotion, the misunderstanding, the accusation, the gossip directed towards leadership. It is hard. But, you know, God is so wise that the passage that I get to study and preach this week is Mark chapter 6. The rejection of Jesus, the resilience of Jesus. And if my master was rejected and he didn't give up, in my rejection, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep at it, man. I'm going to keep doing what I can until the day he says, "Bin, time out. You've done your dash." But right now, I'm just so glad that this was the word that God spoke for me during the week and for you this morning. For some of you, I want you to know that whatever season you're in right now, God knows. He's alive, amen. He knows. And he wants you not to lose heart. He wants you to keep moving forward. And maybe the reason why you're in this season is because where there should have been faith, there's been unbelief. And he's holding back. He's not doing the miracle until you say, "Yeah, you got me here. Hands up, you take control, not me. You're my faith, not my faith in myself. I trust you and I don't trust me." And maybe that's where we're at. And God wants us to keep at it. Build resilience, Sun Life Church. Amen. Keep at it. Keep pursuing Him. Keep moving forward. Yeah? Keep loving. Keep proclaiming. Keep serving. No matter how hard it is, keep at it. Amen. Jesus understands. Yeah? Jesus, and I stand as your pastor this morning. I understand. I know how messed up this world is. You're like, yeah, this week here was a tough week for me. Not studying, not preaching. That's easy. All the other stuff, man, that's hard. The stuff that you don't know. Keep praying for me, please, as I keep praying for you. Amen. Let me close our eyes and let's pray. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're a good God. You are good. You are so good. Jesus, I'm going to pray right now, Jesus, for anyone who's struggling. Anyone right now who feels that, yeah, they're in a season where they are really trusting for a breakthrough. In fact, if that is you this morning, that you feel this morning that the reason why you're really struggling is because all this time you've just tried to depend upon your own strength, your own abilities, your own faith. Yeah, I want to pray for you. So with all eyes closed, if that is you, yeah, and you need prayer to let go and say, God, you take control of my situation and I need your help right now. I don't want to do this out of my strength, but your strength. I need you right now. I need to put my faith in you right now because I am about to give up. I'm at that point where I'm that close to saying, it's too much. Can I just get you to be upstanding right now? Because I want to pray for you. Okay. Yeah, you stand. If that is you, you stand. Because I want to pray for you. Thank you. You just stand. Thank you. I want to see who you are so I know who I'm praying for. Yeah, you just stand. Because as you stand, I'm going to pray, believing with you that God can do the miracle in your world. Just stand. Anyone else, you can stand. If you're needing prayer, you stand up right now. Yep, I see you. It's good. Yeah, you take your time. You do business with God. If you're at the back, I can still see you. Yeah, yeah. You say, look, God, I just need you right now. It seems like it's a hopeless situation, but I'm putting my trust in you. I'm really going to believe in you because you are the same yesterday, you are the same today, you are the same tomorrow. You're the God of Nazareth and you're also my God. You stand? Yeah, come on. I'm going to pray for you because I really believe right now in the spiritual realm, God is going to do a work. Put your faith in Him. Marvel Him right now with your faith. You want to marvel Jesus right now? With your faith in Him. Right now. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on. Come on. Let's do this right now, Sun Life Church. God, I pray for those who are standing right now. I stand with them. I stand as well, saying, God, I need more of you and less of me. I need you to come into this space that I'm facing right now. I know it's very, very hard. I feel like it's impossible to get out of it. But Lord, I'm going to look at you. I refuse to look at my situation. I'm going to look at you. I refuse to look at what's before me. I'm going to fix my eyes towards you right now, God. So Lord, I pray for all those who stand this morning saying, Jesus, I put my faith in you. Jesus, there is belief in you that you are able, that you can change my situation. So Lord, I pray for faith right now, that you will grow their faith right now. Lord, I pray as of this afternoon, there is breakthrough. Lord, I'm really believing that, God, that you begin to do a work this afternoon. Lord, for anyone right now where there is unsettledness, anxiety, I pray for peace right now. Give them peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Saturate their minds. Saturate their hearts with your peace right now, God. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you will send angels to come and encourage them right now, God. I pray that they'll keep taking another step forward. They'll keep moving forward. They'll not look back. Lord, they'll move forward. Trust that you've got this. You've got this. That you are the same God. Yesterday, today, forevermore. So Lord, I pray right now for any moments of disappointment, any moments of rejection, that you would just build their resilience, Lord. Oh Lord, that they'll not lose heart, that they'll keep pursuing you right now, God. Lord, you see us. We stand saying, we need you. We stand and we say that, God, apart from you, we can't do this. So would you come into this space? Would you come and restore? Would you come and give us faith? Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all be upstanding as we just close this morning service in a time of worship? Let's respond to the preaching of God's word. Let's worship God. Let's declare who He is. Let's do this at Life Church.